Sometimes it's the little things that enrich our lives the most. A beautiful piece of music, going outside and getting some exercise, or playing sports with our friends. A beautiful and welcoming smile. Well, we may not realize it, but frequently those little things aren't that small after all. Kids with few resources may not be able to afford music lessons or an instrument. People with disabilities can't take any kind of athletic competition for granted. And for the unhoused population, well, a smile may not only be the last thing on their mind, it may be physically impossible due to compromised dental health. We take a look at some generous groups that are making those little things accessible to all again. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. It's something that most of us don't even think about. Our smile. But it's a universal language, and not everyone can speak it. While most of us take for granted the ability to smile and show our teeth, that effortless expression of personality could be something those with dental problems can only dream of. And without a smile, how much more difficult would it be to deal with social and business issues? It really could be very problematic. So one who knows about all of that is Dr. Jay Grossman. He's a local dentist and the president and founder of Homeless Not Toothless. Good to see you, Dr. Grossman. Thanks for joining us. Your organization is set up to help those without resources get dental care. And I gather with growing homelessness that that is a growing population.
That's correct. And thank you for having me, Hal. Homeless Not Toothless just hit its 30th year of being around in the Los Angeles area. And we're very proud of the difference we've made for so many people.
What is it that you do exactly?
Well, we started the organization after I finished a tour of duty. I was a dental officer in the United States Navy, and I opened up my practice in Brentwood. And for those of you that know the area, the VA hospital is literally walking distance from my practice. And as I was driving home every day, passing the VA and a sign that somebody different each day was holding that said, I'm a former veteran, you know, can you please help? I was stuck with that concern of whether or not that dollar I was about to give them was going to drugs and alcohol or whether it was going to their last meal. So I, one day, as I was reaching to my wallet, I saw my business cards there and I said, you know what? I could do so much more for you by fixing your smile, by getting you out of pain, by removing those unsightly teeth, by giving you a removable appliance, which is what we call a denture, so that you go out and look good for a job interview and so you could eat without pain. And that's how the program started. And we've expanded from the unhoused veterans to many other people who are in desperate need of dental care.
When we talk about unsightly teeth, that's sort of a warning, everybody. We're going to show you a couple of photos here that could be shocking. It certainly could be sensitive to some of you. So you might want to look away if you would have a hard time looking at people who have very, very bad teeth. And let's take a look at that picture right now that we're talking about. And, doctor, why don't you talk to us about this a little bit?
Sure. That picture on the left is what we call meth mouth. This is somebody who's abused drugs, and meth is a very, very acidic type of smoke. And when it's inhaled, it literally helps to liquidate the teeth. They fall apart. But the other thing, as you could well imagine, when people are high on any kind of drug, their home care obviously, you know, goes down the toilet. They're certainly not brushing and flossing, and their diet is horrible. It tends to be a high sugar diet. So, you know, you put all those things together and unfortunately you end up with a mouth that looks like that. That photo that was on the right, however, was what we did for that particular person. They first of all, they have to be clean and sober for at least 3 months before they come into the program. And that gentleman over there had about 9 months of sobriety. And that's a removable denture on the right. But as you could well see, Hal, I mean, that's a beautiful smile, right? Would you even know those are fake teeth? And the beautiful thing about that is it's not very expensive to give somebody a full set of teeth. And what Homeless Not Toothless does is we're interested in helping people who are interested in helping themselves. So we first started with taking care of the unhoused veterans. We expanded to foster children. We now also take in women of domestic abuse. And our goal is to raise their pride and dignity so they could go out and actually get a job and get off the street.
You tell an interesting story about how you got moved over to the foster care area. Do you want to talk about that for a second?
Sure. After we were working on only the unhoused veterans in the beginning, I got a phone call from the actress Sharon Stone, who said, you know, I hear what you're doing for the veteran community. That's great. What do you think about actually helping people in foster care? And at the time, when Schwarzenegger was governor, he actually removed foster care from getting free dental care because at that time the state was broke. So Sharon Stone and I actually took on starting several facilities in downtown Los Angeles and east of downtown that to this day still sees over 10,000 foster kids a year. So we're very, very proud of that.
I'm curious, and I think I know the answer to this, but would implants be just too expensive to try to give to people?
Yeah, you know, the program is really set up for us to do some basic dentistry. Oral surgery, the extractions of teeth is done all the time in this particular program, as you could well imagine. And fillings and cleanings are done, you know, and x-rays easily, because the cost of doing that, Hal, is relatively inexpensive. When we start getting labs involved, and although I have several labs that are very generous and donate, you know, X number of cases per month, but we're seeing 10, 12, 15,000 people a year amongst our clinics. And as you could well imagine, we have a budget that's in the millions of dollars. The vast majority of it is donated. I'm the only salaried person in the organization. I get a dollar a year, and I have so since we started. So we're not heavily using our funds for anything but really the supplies and the lab cost, about 93 cents on each dollar that's going directly back to the patients. I'm very proud of that number.
So we're running short on time. There are two things I want to hit you on. One is pain. It's not just about cosmetics. It's about pain. It's about infection. It's about the fact that you can literally get sepsis if you don't take care of the teeth, right?
Correct. So one of the things that we're doing also by removing the teeth and cleaning out infections, we're actually decreasing the amount of the unhoused that are going to emergency rooms because they are becoming septic. That's correct.
And then also, how can people help you? I mean, obviously, you talk about the idea of their donations, and much of that comes from you and your wife, right?
That's correct. My wife and I have been obviously one of the strongest supporters. We put six figures in a year to keep it going. It's our love. It's our legacy. But of course, we're so open to taking donations, and people can go to our website, which is the name of our organization, homelessnottoothless.org. homelessnottoothless.org.
Dr. Jay Grossman, thank you so much for joining us. And once
thank
again,
you,
that's homelessnottoothless.org. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we'll talk to the founder of another organization, this one aimed at enriching the lives of people dealing with physical challenges and showing that sports are for everyone. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We all know that our lives can change in an instant, but few are so aware of it as someone who has suffered a spinal cord injury. But for those who know the shock and life-altering struggles, there are places you can go for help. And one of those is the Triumph Foundation. Andrew Skinner is its founder, and thanks for being here, Andrew. You have a rather personal reason for having started this organization. And why don't we start there? Tell us your story.
So I was 24 years old, and I had just graduated from college. I had met the girl of my dreams, landed a great job. I was on top of the world, and my family went to Lake Arrowhead to celebrate Thanksgiving, and I brought my new girlfriend along, and it was a winter wonderland. And the day after Thanksgiving, I was goofing off in the snow on my snowboard, and I went off a little jump that we had made, and I landed on my butt and back, but the way I fell, I apparently broke my fourth, fifth, and sixth cervical vertebrae in my neck and was paralyzed instantly, and my whole life was shattered.
Devastating.
Devastating.
Devastating is the word that one might use in a situation like that. And things happen so quickly, and then all of a sudden you're looking at an entirely new life.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I was lost. I was really in despair, going through all the, you know, feelings of mourning and grieving and from anger and frustration, and I was very fortunate that I had a family that was there for me, that was there to be a shoulder to cry on, to pray for me, and to be a punching bag for me at sometimes. And I was very fortunate that the girl of my dreams, Kirsten, stayed by my side And I'm proud to say that she's now my wife and my partner in Triumph Foundation, and I'm very blessed.
And how did you guys get this foundation off the ground? What does it do? How can people get help from it?
Yeah, so we started in 2008. It took me a few years just to focus on myself and my own recovery. And once I had gotten a job and figured out how to be independent again and back into the community, I always felt kind of called to pay it forward, to help other people. I was very fortunate not only to have a great family, but people that had gotten injured before me that came and visited me in the hospital.
Tell us about this video we're looking at right now.
This is our wheelchair sports festival, adaptive sports festival, that's coming up in November. That's at the Rose Bowl, and it's one of our biggest events of the year, and it has 15 different activities, everything from wheelchair basketball to hand cycling to art, music, you name it, and it's free and all-inclusive, so I hope you join us, Al.
How long has this been going on?
This will be our fifth year doing our adaptive sports festival with the city of Pasadena. Triumph does all sorts of recreational activities going on all year long, but this is the big one that we bring them all together in one day, and it's all free.
You know, it's an interesting term, adaptive sports. Just define that.
Well, adaptive, I mean, is just about anything you do, you have to adapt to accomplish the task. And so we have a variety of activities that anyone can take part in, and we find a way for you to be successful.
One of the things we talked about at the top was the idea that just because you're disabled doesn't mean you can't participate in sports.
100%. Yeah, I mean, we want to help people find joy, find something that they're passionate about, find a purpose. And so sports and rec is a great avenue to discover yourself and to find something, again, that that you really enjoy and get to do on your own.
Well, what are people's reactions to this?
Well, people are blown away. The best part about our sports festival is when you come, it won't just be watch Andrew and his friends play, but we're going to get you in the chair. We're going to get other people involved in the activities. And so it really knocks down barriers for inclusivity because you're making friends, you're playing games with each other. And it also just kind of really highlights the strength of people with disabilities that are playing these games. We show people who the real challenge athletes are when we put you in a wheelchair. You've never pushed one before, and you don't know how to go about that, and then let alone play in a game.
Well, what are some of your activities? And I think our producer, Hunter Lowry, likes the Zumba.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we have Zumba and dance fitness. We've got art, music. We'll have fencing. We'll have archery. We have beat baseball, which is for our friends that are visually impaired, people that are blind. Murder ball is my favorite, which you'll have
Wait
to
a minute, know, murder sure. ball?
Murder ball,
what is that?
Wheelchair rugby. It's basically full contact wheelchair sport. You play in wheelchairs that are set up gladiator style with shields on the wheels and battering rams on the front. And you basically have to roll a ball from one side of the court through some cones on the other. And
wow.
The other team can crash and hit you as hard and often as they can to stop you.
Well, sports is just one of the things the Triumph Foundation does. What are some of the other things?
Yeah, so I kind of started with saying the heart is visiting people when they're newly injured, people that acquire a disability, whether through accident or illness or this disease, but we're the first responders in some ways. We roll into their rooms and we bring them care packs that are full of resources and just offer education and hope and try to help them puzzle their life back together and be part of their recovery journey.
We have a very little bit of time. How can people help?
If people can go to supporttriumph.org, they can learn more about our outreach that we do. If there's someone that's watching right now that needs our help, please reach out. We care for you. We exist. And then obviously come out to the sports festival. You can learn all about it at supporttriumph.org. And again, it's free, it's all inclusive, and everyone's welcome.
You know, I often say that it's remarkable to see how people overcome adversity. And I think that's true about you. Andrew Skinner, thanks so much for joining us. And we'll continue with Fox 11 News in depth. Next, gift of music can change your life for the better, but the gift of making music can change a life for good. Up next, we look at a local organization focused on giving that gift to children and how those young musicians give back. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Music and art are frequently overlooked as important parts of our everyday lives, but those who have a creative outlet can tell you just how enriching they can be, even if no one else gets to see or hear what they produce. A woman who knows all about that is Marcy Sudock, the founding director and conductor of the Southern California-based Musique sur la Mer Orchestras. How was my French? Did that sound pretty good? It's an opportunity for instruction, an opportunity for kids, budding musicians, but people who can't really afford to get where they want to go. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Musique sur la Mer and how it got started, and what's the heart of that organization?
Well, back in the year 2000, at that crucial moment, there were many schools that were having problems getting their music programs to continue. Funding wasn't there, et cetera, and we wanted to keep kids in music. And a colleague called me saying, do you have a youth orchestra that would represent the U.S. to go to France? I said, I will by tonight. And that's how we started. And the idea was that we get started and get the music back in the schools. And all the students and parents became advocates for music in schools. But moreover, I wanted to empower these young musicians to realize what they do is important and that they could help other people in the process. And that was 24 years ago.
You have a musical background yourself.
I'm a violinist.
You're a violinist. Okay. And when I was a kid, I played bassoon.
Ooh.
I played saxophone in the marching band. I played the violin. And I played the piano, and I don't do any of those very well at all anymore.
It doesn't matter. 1 year of lessons can change a life.
But, you know, there is something about learning about music. And it's enriching, and it makes a difference. But how does it help those in these sort of underprivileged communities?
It gives them a leg up into getting a higher education. It helps with scholarships into great universities, colleges, and even if somebody's becoming a mechanic or anything else, if you're listening, you're going to hear the change in your car. It's going to make a difference in your self-esteem. It's going to make a difference in how you think and how you relate to the world and to each other.
We mentioned at the top of the interview here that this is for the underprivileged and you know, you're helping out people who otherwise couldn't afford to get instruments, mm-hmm. and let alone lessons. So how does that work? Where does that money come from? How do those lessons play out? How does that all work?
Well, this is actually music for everybody, whether they are underprivileged, consider themselves privileged, or frankly, everybody's struggling these days. Mm-hmm. So the way it works is they apply. Simple. We don't ask for lots of information. Just we want to see your passion. We want to see that you're interested. And then if you can afford, help us. If you can't, we'll supply you with the instrument, we'll supply you with the lessons, and we'll supply you with the opportunities that go along with that.
Now, we're looking at video right here. Tell us a little bit about the video we're looking at. What are the ages? Looks like you've got some young folks.
We do. We start as young as 7 in the orchestral programs. We'll start younger, even younger for lessons. But in this particular video, the one that you were just showing, that was at our Halloween Spooktacular concert. This is at a rehearsal. And you'll notice that we are not age-based. We are passion-based.
Okay.
If you are passionate and you're willing to work hard, we're willing to do everything it takes to help you.
And let's talk about performances. So you have one coming up.
We do. We have quite a few coming up. We have our Halloween Spooktacular coming up.
Which is really the Halloween Spooktacular, right?
Oh, that was a little creepy. Yes.
Yes. Oh, very good.
So that's going to be on the 22nd of October at the Terrace Theater in conjunction to the Long Beach Symphony Concert. We'll be performing outdoors. And then on the 3rd of December, we have our Musique sur la Mer, a holiday concert, which is an international concert of holiday music from all over the world.
Where?
We're setting up our location right now.
Okay, so you have something coming up in Australia?
We do. We're going to be performing in the Sydney Opera House for their Light Festival on June 22nd. And that's what we're fundraising for right now to make sure that every student in the orchestra that wants to go can go, as well as our staff.
You know, over the years, you've played in some pretty remarkable places, right? Even including a coronation?
Yes, we did. We were performing the night before the coronation as the prelude to the coronation in London, where we
The king?
Of the king, of King Charles and Queen Camilla.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing. And some of the other amazing places you performed?
Oh, aside from London for the Queen's Diamond Jubilee and for the Royal in honor of the Royal Wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton, we have performed 3 times at the Sydney Opera House. We're a favorite there. And in Wales, in Costa Rica, in France, in the Czech Republic, in Prague, and it goes on and on. We take these kids all over the world, but we just don't perform. We create good works while we're there.
But you need a little help to get over to Australia, so what can people do?
Well, they can donate via our website. We have a PayPal area right there, or they can pay by check or credit card. But what that does is not just enable a student to get there. It increases their viability of getting into college. It increases their humanity by the good works that we'll do while we're in that country, as well as the good works that we do while we're here. So their dollar goes a long way, and 100% of it goes to those kids.
And you're a 501c3?
We are a 501c3.
Which means you're a nonprofit.
We are.
And it can be tax-deductible.
Completely.
Bada-boom.
Bada-boom, bada-boom.
Marcy Sudduck, thank you so much. Good to see you again. And coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we will continue with this week's show. Don't go away.
Thank you, Pat.
And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. You know what it's called. It's called What the How, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehowpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. And before you go, another look at Musique sur la Mer. This is the Chamber Orchestra performing at the coronation of King Charles. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.